Hello, and welcome to the DMV Business Show, a weekly show where we get to meet local business and community leaders in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area. They get to impact their story and how they got there. You can expect to hear advice and learn about their journey and how they went from point A to point B. My name is Otto Sevilla, and I'm a commercial real estate advisor in the local DC, Maryland, and Northern Virginia area. I have been very fortunate to have worked with many amazing entrepreneurs and executives, from startup founders to international Fortune 500 companies. And one of the things I love about what I do is I get to form these great relationships with some interesting people. I get to know them and I learn about how it all started. And I love hearing a good business story. When I'm not working in commercial real estate, I just also happen to be the host of this show. So please enjoy and welcome to the DMV Business Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Otto Sevilla. And today I have a very special guest for you, Celia Kibler. Celia is many things. She is an author. She's a coach. She's a grandmother. She's a mother. And she's also owner and founder of Pumped Up Parenting. Welcome to the show, Celia.
Thank you, Otto, so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Of course. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you. So before we go into sort of your personal journey, if you can give the audience just a brief general overview, Celia, of who is, what is Pumped Up Parenting?
So I am the founder of Pumped Up Parenting, and I'm also the founder of two other companies, FunFit Family Fitness and the International Day of Calm. And Pumped Up Parenting is all about creating cooperative, respectful environments and fun environments for children to grow up in. Because as my tagline says, we are raising adults, not children. So I help parents, and I am on a mission to help parents to stop yelling at their kids, to help a million right now, but I'm pretty close to that million. So we'll be up in that to 10 million pretty soon. But basically creating an environment where kids feel respected, but still has limit. They still have limits, consequences, all those things that are necessary to raise a confident, self-reliant, contributing member to society in adulthood.
I love this. I'm going to personally have to be taking notes through this. So I have three young boys myself. And as you know, parent and grandmother yourself, they all have different personalities. Therefore, you have to treat all of them differently in the way you communicate and the way you interact. So I can't wait to get into all this and get some tips from you that I'm going to personally use myself.
Absolutely. Glad to help you.
Thank you. Now, you also mentioned you're also the founder of two other companies. If you don't mind, if you would like to go into that, please.
Sure. So FunFit is a company that my sister and I co-founded in 1987. And that is pretty much what started my professional life helping children and really focusing on the health and wellness of children. We were approached by Baltimore County to create a kids program that was not sport related, that was merely health and fitness related. And we created FunFit. And FunFit is set for any child, any skills, any abilities, any gender to participate freely in an activity that is all inclusive, non-competitive, and full of fun so that they truly build a love for physical fitness. And that's FunFit. The International Day of Calm stemmed off of my desire to help stop a million parents from yelling at their kids. And I really thought to myself, we need to really calm this world because there's so much judgment. There's so much criticism. There's hatred stemming from all sides of people thinking that their hate is justified. When I say hate is hate, I don't care where it comes from, and really get the world and humans thinking that they have control over them. They don't have control over anything else. And it is up to each person to de-stress their lives in whatever areas they're stressing out and really take charge of how they respond, how they react, and how they greet the world and other people with an open mind, with the willing to have conversation and to learn about each other and grow.
So for that day, I guess people are just calming down. Is that what happens, or?
So on that day, it is April 5th. And why April 5th? Briefly, because that's the day my dad passed away in 2020. And he was the yeller in the family, but an extremely accomplished human being for humanity. I mean, he did things for mankind that, for instance, he was part of the team that put seatbelts into automobiles. And yet he felt extremely mediocre because why? He was yelled at and physically abused as a child. And that's what it does to people. So in honor of him, also a great man, and I love him dearly and miss him, I created this day on the date of his death. And you can go to dayofcalm.org. You can just pledge the day. And that's just a promise that on this day, I'm going to do all I can to be a calm, peaceful, cooperative human being. Mm-hmm. You can sponsor. We actually will have a summit on the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th that will have speakers internationally that will help you to de-stress the various areas of your life. So we're not just going to say be calm. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you de-stress and lessen the chaos of your daily life in different ways. And in addition, this year we have a new initiative called Rescue a School, and we will be helping a school in Uganda, which I personally help teach at about once a month. It's a wonderful school with about 400 enrolled students in a very impoverished area of Uganda. And literally we had to send these kids toothbrushes because I did a hygiene class and talked about brushing your teeth. And the little boy raised his hand and said, how do I brush my teeth if I don't have a toothbrush? And so we sent a whole big box of toothbrushes. So they had them. And these kids are suspect. Is that the word? I don't know. That's not really the word. But they have horrible AIDS there. So a lot of them are orphaned from AIDS, or they have AIDS. They are keeping girls from being sold into an early marriage for money, as well as there's a lot of child labor going on. So this gentleman created this school. He currently has about 400 enrolled, and they need help and they need a school. Right now they have termite buildings and mud floors and not like a building that they can have a school in, as well as a dormitory for those kids that are homeless.
Wow, that's amazing. As far as the help you've done, are you doing that online as far as that monthly lesson that you're teaching?
Yes. So okay. I do it virtually, and I teach about once a month virtually, and 7 a.m. because in Uganda, you know, it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. So it's early morning for me, but it's all good. It's so worth it. And the kids are amazing. And for instance, like they watch me, there'll be like 50 kids there watching me on John Paul, who is the director of school, on his phone, because they don't have computers, they don't have a tablet. So all these kids are watching this lesson on a little cell phone. And so that's part of the things we're trying to get them, so that they can have all the things they need to be educated in a safe environment, a nurturing environment, and a healthy environment.
Celia, I'm just curious, how did you even get connected with this school in Uganda? And this
That is a really good question, Otto. I think, so I go live on Facebook on a regular basis. I've been going live since 2016 on parenting and health and wellness. And I started in Periscope, which was like Twitter's version. Mm-hmm. And I believe John Paul followed my live videos and my live broadcasts. And he reached out to me if I would be willing to teach the kids. And I, of course, said, sure, I'd love to. Okay. So that is pretty much how it started. I think he found me.
Okay, that's great. I can't wait to get more in detail into your story. But before, are you originally from the DMV area?
I am. Born and bred in Baltimore. And still Baltimore. Here in Glen Burnie. So
there you go.
I ventured out to Montgomery County for a little while when my kids were growing up and they went to school. I went to college at University of Maryland, College Park, but now I'm back. So, and I love Glen Burnie. I love this place.
I'm sure growing up in Maryland in the Baltimore area, you didn't think, I don't know if you thought you would be doing this today, what you're doing now. Do you remember, like, what were you into? What did you like growing up?
I never thought I would do this. I was secretary of the SGA at Pikesville High School. So I guess I did have some, you know, governing, like, get involved spirit about me early on. I had scoliosis. I wore a body brace for 3 years from 8th grade to 12th grade, growing up, and it went from my neck to my hips. And that for me was kind of a life-changing moment. I can go back to that time because I was at my monthly appointments were at the Children's Hospital in Baltimore. And the outpatient clinic was right next to the terminal ward. And so as we sat there in our braces and people, it was pretty much like people with scoliosis or, you know, whatever. The kids in the terminal ward were right there behind the windows. And I remember a little boy in his wheelchair rolling across going, "Don't look at me. I'm not a freak. Don't look at me. I'm not a freak." He didn't have any legs. There was a little girl who had a horrible skin disease that she would die from within a year, was laying on a gurney, and this girl would just laugh. She was like the happiest kid dying. So I came away with that at the ripe age of 8th grade, whatever age that is, because I really don't know, thinking, what do I have to be upset about? Yes, I have to wear this brace. My favorite thing in the world, not my favorite thing in the world, but I got to consider myself fortunate. Mm-hmm. That all I had was this brace, and I could take this brace off for 2 hours a day, and you would never know anything was wrong with me. So I became very grateful. I became a person that really saw the world really through a glass half full. I knew that whatever I was enduring, there was someone out there with a much greater challenge, and that really change my thinking. And I've always wanted to help kids. I love kids. I'm immature. My favorite slogan, you're only young once, but you can be immature forever. So, you know, like to live by that. And I'm the one at the kids' table. Did that answer your question? I'm not sure.
It did. It did. It's interesting how, I guess, going through a certain experience can change your perspective on things, and realize what you have is a lot compared to what other people are going through in this world.
Absolutely.
It just brings me back. I grew up here in the DC metro area, but I was not born here. I came here at a very young age. I'm an immigrant from Nicaragua, which is probably one of the poorest Latin American countries. And I went back there when I was a teenager, and it just opened my eyes. They're a little bit better, but it's still similar. But it just opened up my eyes. I think I was 13 years old or 12, maybe close to the age you were in 8th grade. I don't know, when you saw that at Children's Hospital in Baltimore, where I saw these impoverished kids, that could have been me. And they were in the streets without shoes, selling things. A lot of them were addicted to smelling glue back then. They would put glue just to also help with starvation with food, and they would inhale glue, which is drugs, and that would help with starvation. And I just saw that, and it was just so saddening to me. And it was just a country that I even love to this day, and I've been back multiple times, but it just changes. It just shifted my perspective. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm in America. I have to go full force and take advantage of this.
No, we have so much abundance, we don't even know. Honestly, when I taught that lesson to the kids in Uganda, and that little boy just matter-of-factly, just like you and I are talking, raised his hand, and I answer his question. He's like, how do I brush my teeth if I don't have a toothbrush? My inner self was like, oh my gosh, what am I thinking? They don't even have toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. Toothbrushes. And of course, I told them, you know, you rub your teeth with your finger, you swish with water and rinse out the food particles in your mouth. But a toothbrush, a dollar toothbrush, they don't even have. We don't realize we have to be grateful. We have to change our mind shift and the mind shift of our children. They have to realize how fortunate we are in this country. Beyond, like, even people that are struggling in this country are so better off than people in other countries and other areas.
I agree 100%. So you were exposed to that day in Children's Hospital. You're like, okay, I want to help one day. But then between now and Pumped Up Parenting, what happened that led you to where you are today?
So FunFit, like I said, was started back in 87. So
that was the first company, right?
Say again?
That was the first company?
That was the first company. So okay. That's a family fitness company, mm-hmm. still operating in the DC metro area. But I had decades of teaching parents and kids. Our program incorporates parents with the kids. So if you're a toddler or you're elementary school, mostly toddlers, take one of our classes. You're not sitting and watching a class. You are actively participating in that class. Even if your child's not, you are. Sometimes those little ones aren't, you know, they're like, you know, first or second week. But I was right there, front row, watching the changes of parenting over decades. How it started back in the 80s and how it changed up until this decade. And I had more and more parents asking me, you know, advice. Because of course, if you teach a class, you are an expert in every field that could possibly be. And being as I was raising my own children, my oldest is now 40. I was able to offer advice. And I've had excellent advice. I've been parenting a blended family successfully for over 27 years. So things worked for us.
Sure.
And around 2016, I remember getting a question from one of my parents, and she sat down with me. And one of the things she did was she was yelling at her son to sit down. Now, understand, my classes are a very high energy fitness class for parents and kids. We are running, we are jumping, we are trying, we're playing with balls, we're all over the place. You know, we are like actively moving for 45 minutes. She came after class, the class is gone, the rooms we teach in are empty. There's not like desks and chairs, they're empty, big empty rooms. She yelled at her child because he was running around. And I said to her, why are you upset that he's running around? And she goes, well, he might fall down and hurt himself. And I'm like, he just ran around in a class with about 30 people, because there are about 15 people in the class, add their parents. That's 31 people, including me, mm-hmm. that he ran around safely in. And I started thinking, parents, they just don't even know what to do. And so I started going live and talking about parents and what they can do. And I've gotten a lot of, you know, I grew my following, so to speak, and parents are constantly reaching out to me. One of the things that I specialize in is giving parents answers, doable, actionable steps that will create a result, which is why my book, Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, because I'm all about not yelling, is written like a manual. You know, parents always say they don't have a manual. So I wrote one. Like, you can go in this book, look up whatever you want, and there is a successful solution for it. And I just was able to really get a lot of people interested because I wasn't beating around the bush, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I directly address what's going on. And I give you solutions so you solve it. So many of my parents will say, it was like magic. You told me to do this. I did it. And my child did this. It was like magic. And it's not magic. It's building that respect and cooperation between the two of you.
How can someone avoid yelling? Or does it matter the situation as far as your response and your reaction to it?
It always matters. It always matters because you are their role model. And everything you do, good or not so good, mm-hmm. you give your child permission to do. So don't get mad at them if they're doing something that they learned from you. If you're yelling at them, they're yelling. Mm-hmm. If you're calm, they're calm. One of the biggest ways to stop yelling is to, number one, understand your own reaction to when things disappoint you, because basically that's what you're doing. Your kids disappointed you, so you yelled at them. Also, eliminating the need to yell. And that's what my teachings do for parents. Because your family is now cooperative, your children are listening the first time, not waiting till the fifth time when you yell at them. Your children are encouraged to do things around the house. That's a very positive, nurturing environment. They know limits and boundaries. They know what the consequences are if they don't, you know, follow through with something they said they would. That is all open in your home. So when that happens and that cooperation and respect between you and your child starts, the need to yell is less and less. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to handle disappointment, and when you're disappointed, you yell and scream, your child who needs to learn how to handle disappointment is going to handle it the same way. We can't always make our kids happy. That's unrealistic. We all want to. Of course, we want everybody to be happy. Except welcome to life when things don't go your way. And if you don't help your children understand that things not going their way is not the end of the world, you're raising a great grown-up who can handle disappointment, waiting, things like that, instead of always getting what they want, when they want it, how they want it, and you teaching them how to handle their emotions by flying off the handle.
Sure. You know, I grew up with, my dad wasn't a yeller, but I would say he definitely yelled a lot more than my mother would ever get upset or anything. And I guess with my household, Celia, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm not going to do and what I'm going to do when I have my own children one day. And as I mentioned, I have three little ones, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be in certain situations like this, like my father would react. And I have tried to, and sometimes, what do you suggest then if you tell the child to do a certain thing, they still don't do it, you mention it another time, and you're doing it in a calm, as calm as you can, what then?
Okay, so when I ask parents around the world why they yell, you get two answers. One is, I don't know any different. So usually they've been raised by a yeller and that's all they know. The second is exactly what you said. I ask very nicely over and over and over again, and then they don't listen and I yell. So here's the problem with that. You're asking your child to do the same thing over and over and over again, and then you get mad and you yell at them. The problem actually in that scenario is not the yelling. It's the asking over and over and over again. You should not have to ask your child more than once or twice to do something. And often we have trained our children to wait until we yell. So let's look at this. A child's playing a video game and you go up and you say, honey, can you stop playing please and come down for dinner? And you go down to the kitchen and nothing happens. You go back up. Honey, please stop playing. It's almost time for dinner. Turn off your game. Come down. You go down. 5 minutes later, nothing's happened. You go back up. You're like, honey, you need to stop playing. Okay, it's time for dinner. You walk away. Now you're like livid and you're like, I'm going to rip that thing out of the wall and throw it away. If you don't come down to dinner and you're screaming and yelling, your child now knows you're serious. So for the child, he's gotten 5, 10, 15, 20 extra minutes to play on his video game before he knew you were serious. If the first time you walked up there and said, honey, it's time to stop playing your game. We need to come to dinner. Come down. You give him 5 minutes to stop playing and come down. You go back up. He's still doing his little finger thing here. Mm-hmm. Then you walk over and go, honey, I asked you to stop. Now I'm going to turn off the game. Boom. And now go to dinner. And turn off the game. Unplug it. Consoles. Very easy to walk away with. Tablets. Easy to walk away with. Second time, a consequence results. You don't keep asking. And if you do that every time, if you did that 3 days in a row and said, honey, you have to come off of your game and come to dinner. And the second time you turned it off and said, please go to dinner. 3 days in a row, they're figuring out that, hey, you're only asking once and then game over. So your consequence has to be applied after the first, I'll give you second at the most, time that you ask your child to do something. And there has to be a consequence that matches that request and is consistently done every time that situation occurs. And then two or three times, you'll teach your child to listen the first time.
I love that. You immediately just cut it immediately. Now,
you stop asking.
What if you want them to do something? Knock it off, but honey, go mow the lawn. Or go clean
They'll
up.
They'll be like, Dad, pay me $50.
Go clean up your room, whatever it is. Go
right.
You do your homework, but just not cut it off. So on the same thing, or after the first time, you're like, hold their hand, let's go. Let me show
so
you.
So those kind of things, I mean, it depends on the age of the child.
Sure.
But you are best to make sure you set up routines throughout your day. So you should have a morning routine. You should have a nighttime before bed routine. And you should have an after school routine. So after school may look like we get home, we have a snack, we play for a little while so they can loosen up from school. Then we do our homework at like 4:30, at 5 o'clock. We go straight in our room if that's the thing. 5:30, you come back down, we eat dinner. 6 o'clock, we go take a bath, whatever that sequence is, but it's the same sequence every day. So instead of you having to ask, they become very independent and they learn that routine. They know what's coming next. And it's a great thing to do. Toddlers thrive on it. For reality, adults thrive on routine. So definitely set up those routines in place morning, after school, if that's appropriate, and in the evening.
I love that. And that's great. But as you know, even as adults, if you want to eat healthy, work out and be fit, even as us adults sometimes don't even do that ourselves. And with children, sometimes they need a little push if they don't continue in that same routine, right?
So you may have to help it. If it's a little guy, if it's a toddler, very often, like parents tend to give general instructions, like a toddler's playing in their toy room and you'll walk in, you'll go, honey, clean up this room. Clean up this room is extremely general and no means nothing to a young child. It's like set the table, means nothing. And if you say clean up this room, they will sit there, stare for a while and probably go back to playing because it's an overwhelming request that is way too general for their age. Now, if they're 10, you can say clean up the room by now and they'll do to the best of their ability of a 10-year-old. I had a client last night that kind of expected a little too much from her 10-year-old. But, you know, you also have to realize the age appropriateness of the response. But for a little guy like you have, they need step-by-step instruction. Mm-hmm. Honey, can you put those books on the shelf? Can you put those cars in the bucket? Can you put those crayons on the table? Great job, honey. You cleaned up your room. I'm so proud of you. And you say that enough. Then after a while, when you do say clean up your room, they learn the step-by-step process to doing it. So it's a lot the direction you're giving to a child. And often parents give directions that are way too general. And you need to be more specific.
Now, if
even
you
older kids.
Even if you specify there, honey, put your Hot Wheel cars away. Nothing.
And they look at you. We go into an entire coaching session here. So, you know, there's a lot of things that get done in between all of this. But if you tell them to put their Hot Wheels away and they don't, and there is nothing wrong with sitting down with a younger child and doing it with them. Do not do it for them. You're able to sit and help. You can make a game of it. You can put on music. We have a great cleanup song by Fun Fit, which kids love to clean up too. You can find it on YouTube or Apple or whatever, iTunes, whatever those places are. But there is, you know, make it fun. If you can make something fun, jobs will get done. Okay. Kids love to have fun. They strive on fun. You know, we do, we go exercise as adults and we're like, we don't want to exercise, blah, 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 blah. You tell a child to do something that's boring, they're not going to do it because they're not going to look at, well, let me examine the health benefits of this. It's important to remember that the human brain does not finish developing until we're 25 years old. 25. How old are your children?
Oldest is 11, 9, and 6.
So your six-year-old has 19 years to a fully developed brain. Your 11-year-old has 14 years. That's a long time. And it is up to us. They're not born. They're born with emotions. They're not born with self-regulation. They're not born with logic or reasoning. They can never respond to you like an adult. It is not just difficult. It's impossible. Can't be done.
See, like you mentioned earlier, coaching. Is all this in your book? I assume you also do coaching. So how does it, when people are listening to you, they're like, I need to learn more.
So I do. I do private coaching and group coaching. I have a wait list for private coaching, but absolutely reach out to me because I have people that end and move all the time. Also do group coaching. My book explains a lot. It gives you a lot of things, a lot of answers to normal issues. But if you really want accountability, and I'm all about fast, this is not like coaching that we're going to spend 2 years together. You don't have time for that. Kids are getting older every day. So I'm like 3-6 months, major changes in your family. And you can reach out to me at, you can go over to pumpedupparenting.com. It'll have a link for coaching. And we can just have a conversation, free hour of my time to just talk about, you know, what's going on, how the best way I can support you and how to move forward.
Great. You mentioned earlier, as far as going live, I think Periscope, which is not really around anymore, and Facebook Live. I love how you've embraced technology and have used that as a tool in your business. So when did this start?
Well, I'm old, you know, so
it's
always
wise.
A challenge. I mean, I was around before the internet. So when I started going live on Periscope, I had a very dear friend of mine bug me about going live. You should go live. And the funny thing is I've done commercials and Fox and CBS and local and New York and very extremely awkward. Like my sister used to say, you need to show your personality. She's an actress, so she's better at that. But I remember there's a video, don't look for it, please. I'm not even going to tell you where it is, but I'm like standing there I'm wearing a t-shirt that's like 10 sizes too big. And I'm just standing there and I'm not talking with a smile. And I am all about speaking with a smile. And I look at this thing. I'm like, why aren't you smiling? Smile, look like a statue. It's horrible. And you get better and better the more you do it. I mean, I have my own podcast, Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. And, you know, I've been doing that for a few years and you just get better at it, much better at it. But you've got to start somewhere and you've got to just decide, I'm just going to do it. And that's what I did. One day I was like, I'm just going to go live. I'm just going to do it. And whatever geekiness I show, you know, and Periscope had a lot of what they call trolls.
Yes.
That will come on and give you grief about things. And so it was distracting too, to like me who has like ADD. And I was like, distracted by comments, but it was good. It turned out to be great and it set this whole thing in motion.
But now you're going live in, are you still going? I know LinkedIn, right?
So I go live in LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Pumped Up Parenting with Celia Kibler, a lot of information in there. I go live on Instagram. I do reels and TikTok. I'm trying to get better at that. Because it's hard for me to talk for just a minute. mean, that's like not a long time, you know, it's like a minute. Oh my God, a minute's up and I haven't said anything. So clearly you can tell I'm a talker, but, and so I try to hit all the network, all the social platforms, and what else did you ask me? Did I answer that question?
Yeah, you did. Now, is this you saying, okay, I need to be active on all these new social platforms, or is it someone saying, hey, Celia, get on this or try this, or is it a combination?
It is me starting. TikTok was somebody telling me I should go on TikTok and get TikTok and start, you know, appearing on TikTok. Snapchat, haven't given it Snapchat. I'm not doing Snapchat.
Yeah.
But Instagram, I started doing more and more Instagram. I was very comfortable with Facebook, and I decided, and that's where my big Pumped Up Parenting community is. But I decided to like branch out, and I just tried different things. And going live on LinkedIn actually is fairly new, only because I go live through StreamYard, and StreamYard now streams to LinkedIn. So it makes life easier.
That's great. That was going to be my next question. Are you going live in all these platforms at one time, which you are, which is great.
Yes. So basically I go through StreamYard. The only thing I set up separate is my camera on a tripod to go into Instagram, because it doesn't stream to Instagram, but it streams to the, you know, the other places, and my groups on Facebook and stuff like that.
Would you say the biggest following is in Facebook?
My biggest following, probably combined, because I have a lot of groups in Facebook, is Facebook. But Instagram is growing fast. I'd say in the last 4 months, I think I doubled my following in Instagram, because I had a reel that is about choices, which if you can find it, guys, do it. It's like a big thing that's going to be a game changer for you guys. But it hit like 350,000 views and
wow, that went viral.
Shared. Yeah, went viral. And it was a great thing to go viral. Yeah. Like I really, of all the things, it was great to go viral. And that like jumped up. That probably gave me 2,000 new followers. So
okay.
Trying to get to 10,000, guys. So go to parenting_expert_toddlers. I don't know why there's all the underscores. Somebody told me to do that. I regret it now. But follow me, please.
Yes. We need to get her to 10K.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I need. I need that.
That's great, though, as far as the live. What would you say to people, to Celia, who don't embrace the technology, whether going live, I know you mentioned a podcast, or anything out there, whether they want to post or do a video in any of these platforms? Because obviously, I think it helps business. I personally could say it's helped my commercial real estate business. I have got clients. I have gotten deals off of that. I don't know if that's the main source as far as new clients or parents and children coming in to your practice, but I'm sure it's worked because you've been doing it for many years now.
Yeah. The reality is it's a fast-paced world out there, and we have time for nothing. And as much as I like to joke about the 1 minute reels and the YouTube shorts that I do and all that, that's what people are looking at. And so if you're not relevant to the world, you're going to fall behind. You have to be relevant. You have to be where the people are. And my fan base, for the most part, although I have a lot of grandmas, is mostly 25 to 45 year olds, people with young children. And I have, you know, a big following of people with teenagers, but because my book is Raising Happy Toddlers and I love the toddlers, you know, a lot of people are from that age group, but you've got to be where you're relevant. And you're perfectly a genius to do real estate on these reels, because I even love looking at the pictures. Like there's a reel and somebody's going through a house and I'm like, oh, I love this, you know? And one of my clients is a switcher. What's it called? Flip. They flip houses.
Yeah, house flipping.
And they do that too. And they've gotten huge things. And you just have to be relevant. You can't be, even if you lived when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, as my children will tell me, you cannot be a dinosaur.
I agree. And I would say residential real estate beautiful homes are much more attractive because I'm in commercial. So than showing a retail space or an office or industrial. So there is that attraction, which you probably won't see as much in commercial, but still you need to be with today's time. Where is the attention? Where are the eyeballs? And that's where you need to be.
Exactly. You don't have eyeballs on your product. You don't have people that know about you. You're in the background. And there's always, and they're going to find someone. If they don't find you, they're out there looking for someone. And it would be better for it to be you than someone else. I mean, the questions that people have on parenting in my world, if I don't answer their questions, someone out there happily will. So you need to be there. You need to be there where they are.
That's true. I mean, when they think of parenting, you want to be the first person they think of.
And exactly.
Just reach out to you and maybe you can help them. Maybe you can, and you can direct them to someone else if you can. But that's my goal when I'm
exactly.
When I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
You mentioned you also have a following for teenagers. Is there maybe another book coming out soon focusing on teenagers or no?
That's a good question. No. No, the next book that I'm really working on goes specifically to stopping yelling. So it is going to be specifically how to stop yelling. So focused on that for any age group. Okay. And it will relate to teens too, because the biggest problem with teens is if you ask a teenager why they've left their family, why they want nothing to do with their parents, they're going to tell you because no one listens to me. No one cares what I have to say. No one even knows I'm around. I might as well be invisible. And what I do when I work with parents of teens is I help them realize this and create a family dynamic where no one feels invisible in this family. And everyone is given the opportunity to speak up, to be heard, to be valued without judgment, without criticism, without ridicule.
I love that. Celia, would you say the majority of the people that are finding you, is it online first, whether it's your website or any social media platform?
Yes, for the most part, they reach out online or they're referred to me by other clients. So that happens a lot. I also do have my services on Thumbtack sporadically. Thumbtack is like a Angie's List where you can go and you can hire anybody. And so I do have my services on Thumbtack as well.
Sure.
So I open up, you know, that I can hide my service and open it as per need.
Would you say most of the new clients coming in are, is it through social or Thumbtack or any other form of advertising or marketing?
Most new clients, I'm grateful to say, are from referrals.
Oh,
I just got
great.
Three new private clients, one in New York, one in Washington State, one in Chile that were referrals.
Okay.
So I'm happy to have, you know, people happy with the service. And
sure.
That's the biggest compliment.
What would you say drives and motivates you?
I love, love, love helping kids. I love knowing that a child is in a safe, nurturing, cooperative, fun environment. And the only way I can do that is help their parents. And that just drives me. I just see all this horribleness in the world, all these shootings that go on in schools and public places, like the one that just happened. And my first thought is, honestly, my first thought, other than the horror of it, is what kind of environment did that child grow up in? How was this child, so who is now an adult, sometimes not even that much of an adult, so distressed that they can decide that the solution is take the lives of other people and often children? I think about the environment they grow up in, and that's why I'm so adamant about helping parents stop yelling at their kids, because yelling at children does nothing good. It teaches, it has children become very low in self-esteem, self-confidence, that is destroyed. They second guess themselves all the time. All you parents out there that constantly second guess yourself, that's because you don't have the confidence to speak up. And somewhere along your childhood, you weren't allowed to speak up, or you were yelled at for making a mistake. And kids grow up, and here's the bullet point, they don't grow up hating their parents, they grow up hating themselves. And when a child hates themselves, they take on the world, or they show that hate in many, many ways.
That's very true. Right now, is it just UCLA doing all the coaching and everything, or do you have any help?
I have a certification program that I have one person in. I do have an assistant that helps me. And I have like a video guy that edits my videos and stuff like that. So I have to help, but I do the primary coaching. Yes.
Okay. You've been doing this for a long time.
A long time.
What advice would you give someone who, whether they wanted to enter a similar field that what you do, whether coaching or other type of maybe service or maybe products, who knows, anything that has helped you and your business and growing it that you can just maybe impart on them that maybe they can utilize themselves?
Thing to always remember in business, in life, is that there are bumps along the way. And you can either take them as a disaster, as a failure, as a time to call it all quits, or you take it on as a challenge. And you can say, okay, what do I learn from this? Staying relevant is one of the things. You have to go with the flow, and you have to not get so stuck in your ways that you're not willing to change your ways. And if things don't go wrong, they don't go wrong. Reevaluate, pick a new route. That's a great thing to teach your children. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of success. So do not talk about it like, oh, well, so much for that. And give up. Never give up. If you want something to be done, work at it, stay consistent, stay persistent, never give up.
I love that. Speaking of challenges, what would you say is your biggest challenge today at Pumped Up Parenting for you?
My biggest challenge is, honestly, I think is staying consistent and planning things out. I'm a huge fly by, which I don't tell parents not to do, but I'm the person that, like, I think of an idea and I'm going with it. I don't think about it. And sometimes people say in business, that's a blessing. You know, like the International Day of Calm. So I have Fun Fit and I Pumped Up Parenting. And now I have a third business, a nonprofit. When I thought of the International Day of Calm, it didn't occur to me that this would then become a whole nother business. And I just think of things. I'm like, I'm so sick of the way people are hating on each other. I need to calm the world. And boom, International Day of Calm is born, you know, and it's, I act on a lot of what many would call impulses, but I don't act on a lot of them either. So my goal is to make this world a better place, to leave a person that I've had connection with in a better place. And that's what I work towards. And what I have to change, what I have to learn, I'm always learning. I'm always listening to other people. I'm always listening to coaches and, you know, inspirational, what's it called, you know, motivational speakers. Mm-hmm. I'm in my car, I'm listening. I just listened to a whole bunch of recordings from Les Brown. Oh my gosh, that guy's like a trip. He is so great to listen to. And in the car, when I'm on a long trip in the car, I'm listening to something. I'm not that I don't love music. I do love music and it's wonderful, but I'm listening to a book and it's always growing me. I always keep growing. I learn something new every day, and you should make that a part of your family's life to learn something new every day.
Speaking about listening things in the car, when you had young children, would you do the same as far as putting things, whether motivational or audiobook or whatever it may be, or we're like, mom, take that off. Come on.
And my kids honestly listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen, But they grew up loving Bruce Springsteen, so that was good for me. No, the answer to that question is no, I didn't. Should I have? Do I know people that do and swear by it? Yes. I am very, like I said, playful. So my kids were growing up. We played a lot. I mean, I was with them a lot. We laughed a lot. We told jokes. We sang songs. We're in the car. We play card games. We still do it. I still do it with my grandkids. We're not on tablets. We didn't even have tablets back there then. But we were very interactive. So when they were kids, we were all playing together and having a good time together. And there when we needed to be serious and talk about things. But I did not do a lot of like motivational stuff with my children. I did do with my grandchildren. I did offer them something with one of my grandkids, two of my grandkids. But yeah, I did not do that.
You have an April International Calm Day coming up, right? And you said you're going to have several speakers. Is this virtually or in person?
Yes. So this is all virtual. Go to thedayofcalm.org. I'm going to train on not yelling at your kids. I do it every year. I feel like I can't do it enough. I have one of the members of my team, CL King, incredible man. Do not miss his broadcast. He is literally like listening to Les Brown talk. Did a fabulous training last year's summit on fatherhood. I don't know if he'll do what he'll do now. But we have a lot of speakers. I have another speaker that's going to be talking from Thailand on basically finding your road, your path, and literally like taking advantage of it. I mean, he used to live in America and he's like you. He, you know, comes from immigrant parents. Well, we did too. But, you know, he lived in Miami, went to California. Now he's in Thailand. He's just been finding his place in the world. And he's going to talk all about that. We have people that'll be talking about finances because that's such a big stressor for people. So there's a lot you can listen into on the 3 days. The schedule will be up probably mid-March, the official schedule. But if you pledge and you get on our mailing list, you'll get updates on it. We would love for you to join us and help us also sponsor the Day of Calm and the Brilliant School, Brilliant Primary School in Uganda.
That's great. Coming to an end here soon, what do you know now, Celia, that you wish you would have known at the start of your career?
I think I really wish at the start of my career that I knew I could do it. I didn't know I could do it then. And there's even a lot that I didn't know. Back then, I had a big problem with worthiness, comes from being yelled at as a child. I didn't think I was worthy of success. And I had a lot of like, who would listen to me? Why would you listen to me? And I learned that knowledge, experience, people want to know. They want to know how you did this, how you successfully got through something. We all need to share our stories. Even the story you think, well, why would anyone think I know something? But the fact is, if you've been through something or you've lived something that someone else is currently doing and you've survived, you'll help that person. And that person may be the person that relates to you and is like, wow, they went through just what I'm going through. And look, they made it out the other side alive. And that's what's important, because when we're young, we don't know. We, you know, and we doubt ourselves a lot. I've had a lot of second doubts and a lot of this isn't going to work out. I still have that sometimes. But the more you do it, the more you stay persistent and consistent. That consistency grows your confidence. And then people start listening and you're like, oh, well, maybe I do have something that can help somebody else.
You know, it's so true. It's almost like a muscle, I think. And until I started sharing more, that I noticed a difference in my commercial real estate business. And it's just little minor little things that you would be like, who cares about that? Well, what does that matter? But you just start thinking about all the time content, just like, oh, what is this? Maybe it's important, maybe it's not, but just any little snippets. The other day, what was it? I was at a space with a client, a tenant. We're about to turn it over. And he was like, hey, can I just get in here real quick? We already signed the lease. Deal was done. I just need to take some measurements. We're not supposed to. It's a, when you have the keys in your hand. But I was like, hey, I'm in the area. I'm like, let's do it. You know, gave him access. He was there for over an hour. I ran some other meetings nearby. And I just took a little video, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds about, hey, I'm here. It's just about doing a little bit more, even though you don't have to. Yes, you don't have to do anything. You can just sit on the couch and not do anything. But it just pays. It's good to just go above and beyond if you can. You should.
Absolutely.
And in my head, I'm like, this was nothing but, hey, another piece of content out there. There you go. Boop. Hopefully I'm in someone's head next time.
Exactly. And you write it down. I always, like, I have little books like this. And actually, before this call, I wrote down my next reel because I thought of something. And it's like, it was because my husband said, remember how we used to play with Silly Putty and peel the newspaper off the Silly Putty? I'm like, that's a great reel, is like things that we used to do long ago as kids before there were electronics. So my next reel will be 10 things you can do with your kids or they can do on their own that doesn't involve electronics that are super fun. And, you know, you're right. When that idea comes in, write it down, jot it down somewhere.
Yeah, it's a muscle memory. That's the thing. You have your notebook. I have my notes app on my cell phone.
I use that too.
Yeah, I can be in meetings. I'm like, oh, here's a topic. Never remember. I can write a couple of things about that. And this, but before that, when I wasn't thinking of giving and sharing, you would think differently. You wouldn't even think about that. It's like a muscle thing. You have to reprogram yourself.
It is. It's like the gratitude muscle. You know, I tell parents with their kids to practice gratitude every morning. And what happens when you know as a kid or a parent that you have to come up with three things that you're grateful for, guess what happens is you start looking for things to be grateful for. And you're like, oh my gosh, okay, tomorrow morning, mommy's going to ask me what I'm grateful for. So I'm going to look around. And once your brain makes that shift, and start seeing things to be grateful for. Like I could be all mad at these dishes, but you know what? I'm grateful for dirty dishes because it means we have food to eat. I'm grateful for that pile of laundry that keeps building and building because it means we have clothes to wear. And once you make that shift that you have to talk about it, you start living a life of gratitude. Same thing. Got to exercise those muscles.
I like that morning technique with children. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
What are you most excited about? What does the future look like for you and the businesses?
I'm excited. I'm always excited to build the International Day of Calm because I really want people to start thinking about the way they react to things. Start, you know, Chris Rock and Will Smith did a wonderful demonstration of exactly what I could have paid bigger actors to do a complete demonstration of what this really Day of Calm is all about. He punched Chris Rock and Chris Rock just sat there and made light of it and went on with the show. He could have punched back. Many people probably would have. That is the gist of it. You've got to be in control of you. And you've got to be willing to listen and understand and learn about somebody else, not just judge them and not just assume things. Because we're never going to find peace in this world if each person doesn't find peace in themselves and doesn't stop judging another person that they may not know or may think differently. We all think differently. Thank goodness we all have brains. And we're all made to think differently. So are we going to agree on everything? No. Would this be an interesting world if we did? No. We have to have different opinions that we can discuss. That's how progress happens.
It's so true. The Chris Rock and Will Smith incident. Did you use that material as a reel too?
Oh, yeah. It's in my, yes. And it's That's in good. One of my, I do a training on I taught a school in India, a university in India, and I did a training for their kids on staying in control. And I actually showed that reel.
Okay.
And
always looking
they actually have one that has the cuss words out of it. It's like censored.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, censored. It's censored. So yeah. I use that one.
That's good. So when you're not busy working, what do you like to do for fun in your free time?
I love playing with my grandkids. My grandkids are my world. I adore them. I love them.
How many do you have?
I tried to get to, I have 9 of them.
Wow.
And they all live in Maryland or Virginia. So I'm very fortunate that way. My son, though, just moved to Amsterdam. So that's a little far away. I try not to give him too much guilt about that. I call it his vacation because that means it's not permanent. You know, a vacation, yeah. Even if it's for 3 years, not permanent. Come home. See your mother. Home.
It's only 3 years.
Right. So, but I love to be with my grandchildren. And honestly, there's times because I'm always on, you know, doing something that I might just sit on the couch and, you know, watch one of my favorite shows. So it's kind of like brainless operation, but,
sure.
I enjoy that. I live on the water out here in Glen Burnie. So it's, you know, the beautiful nature. That's my backyard. I'm extremely fortunate for that. And sometimes just sitting out there and listening to the birds and watching the water, you can't replace that.
Beautiful. I know you've mentioned already several websites and social media handles, but if people want to reach out to you, learn more about what you're doing, where can they go to again, please?
So you can find me at pumpedupparenting.com, celiakibler.com, and either of those places will work fine. All social medias, Facebook, and you can search my name. I'm so old, guys, that if you search my name on Google, there's like 6 pages of me. It's all me except for one Celia Kibler that died somewhere in Ohio or something like that. That's not me. I'm still here. But I'm on, you search Celia Kibler on every social site, primary social site, and it will bring you to my things. Send me messages, reach out, please, if you have questions. If you're a mom of young kids, you can join me on the Peanut app. Peanut is an app of millions of moms and kids. And I go live there every Tuesday morning. I'm live on Facebook Tuesday at 10 a.m. So you can find me. I'm there. I'm everywhere. And please reach out if you have any questions.
You are everywhere. And for those listening who are business owners, this is a perfect example. Celia just mentioned she owns the first 6 pages of Google. And that's what you want. People Google your name or what you do. You want to own that market. And here's a clear example of her doing so. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Celia. What I'll do also, I'll put the links to all this. When you go to the YouTube and the show goes live, you'll see there, you'll be able to link out if you want to reach out to Celia. Thank you again. It's been an honor. Thank you for the personal coaching. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome, Otto. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you asking me to come on.
Of course. The pleasure is all mine. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have fun.
Bye. You too.
If you haven't done so already, please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review and comment and let me know what you think. Thank you, and I'll see you all very soon on the next episode.